I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. America's secret wars in Afghanistan and Pakistan since 9/11. It is a long and murky story, and it's journalist Steve Cole's specialty. If you're a radio junkie, you've probably heard Cole on the air talking about his new book, Directorate S. There is a lot of ground to cover there, because Cole's book goes deep into this dense and important topic. When Steve came into our studio earlier this week, I wanted to pick out a couple of strands in the book. One is about the level of cooperation we've heard so much about between Pakistan's intelligence agency, the ISI, and the Taliban. Another thing I was really interested in is the extraordinary detail that Cole's research unearthed. Take the meetings right after 9/11 between former Ambassador Wendy Chamberlain in Pakistan and Pakistan's President Pervez Musharraf. Author Steve Cole lets us in on that moment when Musharraf had to answer that infamous question from the Bush era, are you with us or against us?
I knew a lot of the people involved and they knew me, and so it made it easier to persuade them to go in a little more depth about exactly what had happened. That episode between Wendy Chamberlain and Musharraf is a particularly interesting example of a story, at least in my opinion, where we thought we knew what had gone down in the fall of 2001. But in fact, when you read the rich language and the details of what they said and didn't say to one another, you can see there was so many more warning signs on the Pakistani side about where this was going.
Well, I bring up that particular conversation. It's an intense kind of passage in your book. Because it suggests to a lot of people, including Ambassador Chamberlain and President Bush at the time, and I even recall a snarky eyebrow from Jon Stewart on The Daily Show when Pervez Musharraf was on the show, that Musharraf was not sincere when he said, we're with you, that he was almost, if you read between the lines, crossing his fingers when I said that. Do you think that where everything went off the rails right at the start?
Well, it was the beginning of a long-term misreading of Pakistani attitudes and intentions, and it was there to see if you were really trying not to gloss over the reality of resistance that was articulated by Musharraf and the head of ISI, Mahmoud Ahmed at that time, who made it clear that he was opposed to the war that he was now supposed to help win. And so, these gaps were there from the beginning. I think, you know, Musharraf proved to be adept at managing the Bush White House and cooperating enough to persuade them through his actions that he really was a partner. But those early conversations make clear where his underlying head was at, and that reflected not only his own view of what Pakistan's interests were, but also those of the generals who around him who he depended on to stay in power.
Did you ever figure out, like, how active the ISI actually is in the workings of the Taliban, like how many operatives they have on the ground working with them?
You know, there are different estimates about that in different phases of time. You know, the Afghans always have a very high number of how many actual regular Pakistani army officers or ISI officers are on the ground in plain clothes alongside Taliban units. They would put it up in the hundreds. You know, the Europeans, who I tend to think of as the more neutral assessors of this, would, you know, put it more like in the dozens, maybe 100. At different phases of time. The Pakistanis are very practiced now at doing this without getting caught. And one of their objectives has been to not be exposed in the international system by having, say, you know, a serving colonel captured by Afghan security forces and put on trial. So I think they did most of their work across the border on Pakistani territory. There's a quote from a NATO intelligence collector who worked very hard on this problem, had a lot of contacts with the Taliban and others, and he said that the Taliban reported what ISI told them, what the Pakistanis told them was, watch out. We've got 9 groups working with you and 1 that's working against you. And if the 1 that's working against you finds you, they will arrest you because that's who the Americans are working with. So it was a complicated system.
Do you think the United States has to accept some degree of alliance between Pakistan and the Taliban? I mean, is it always going to be kind of a necessary evil of doing business with Pakistan?
Well, I think the United States wants to achieve a political outcome in Afghanistan that is stable and nonviolent, or as stable and nonviolent as possible, and that Afghan peaceful politics today, the parliament, the constitution, has already accommodated some Taliban who have decided to trade in their weapons and enter politics. This is the way civil wars always end. They can be messy. That means you can have people in parliament whose ideas you find abhorrent. But it's better than an endless violent war in which civilians suffer year after year. And so if that's your goal, then including the Taliban and Pakistan in your pursuit of that goal is essential because they are on the ground, they are embedded in the war, and they're not going anywhere.
I mean, for a while, there was Richard Holbrooke and there was an Afghanistan-Pakistan policy. There was some diplomacy going on, but the United States under Trump, it's very transactional, and the U.S. is Pakistan's client. We pay them to do a job, clamp down on the Taliban, and Trump says the job isn't getting done, so we pull $255 million in military spending. Doesn't that make sense, though, when the diplomacy has not paid off?
Well, I certainly can understand the frustration over how U.S. aid has not had the effect of changing Pakistan's conduct adequately, especially involving, you know, known groups like the Haqqani Network that have done such harm to Afghanistan and still carry out mass casualty attacks in Kabul. But just pressure alone doesn't have much of a record in affecting Pakistan's calculus. And Pakistan's most important ally is China, has been for a long time. And now China is a much richer and more accommodating ally than it was even 10 or 20 years ago, the last time we tried to sanction Pakistan into doing something that it didn't want to do and failed. And so I see Pakistan kind of nesting inside that relationship with China. And unless we combine pressure with some positive form of diplomacy, I don't really see that we'll get a result.
Steve, before you go, I'd like us to listen to Alia Atrafi. He's a BBC correspondent who is Afghan. He works for the BBC's Afghan service. And he recently went back to his home province of Helmand to see for himself what the current influence of the Taliban is in Afghanistan. And here he's talking about some of the soldiers in the Afghan army he met.
The soldiers were telling me that now they are used to fighting so much that they get bored. If there is no fighting for a while, they said, when we get bored and we want to fight, then we taunt the Taliban. The Taliban are calling, you know, where are you, you sons of Bush? They mean President Bush. And then the security forces call back saying, where are you, sons of Punjabis? That means they are supported by Pakistan. So it's all very derogatory language.
So, Steve Cole, that is today. What do you make of that?
Well, that's the war as it's been fought, you know, more or less since 2006, 2007 in Helmand and Kandahar, and the calling out of, you know, names. It used to, the British were there for a while, and they got into those shouting matches probably not as fluently as the Afghan security forces, mm-hmm. but the presence of Pakistan's influence and the detection of Punjabi volunteers fighting alongside the Taliban was one of those themes. You know, the war is stalemated geographically, tactically, and Helmand is one of the places where they've been shifting back and forth and fighting continuously for, you know, now more than 10 years since the Taliban's kind of full-on revival. And I don't think the war has shifted much in all those 10 or 11 years. You know, a district may fall to one side or the other, but the basic stalemate remains, and it's taking a terrible toll on Afghans.
Steve Cole, author of the just-published Directorate S, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.